from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Get down!
Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already 2 touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love talking to Jarrett Payton, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out at aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. How you holding up, buddy?
Good morning, Mully and Haw. It's so good to be back talking football with you guys. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well.
Yeah, we're living the dream, and obviously we're talking about the Bears. And, I don't know if they win that game a year ago. They had a lot of belief in themselves. They did great things to get it done. They also needed the contribution from Will Levis. He was there for you. How do you feel about everything that occurred, and where are you at with their offense right now?
Well, I'll start with this. It's actually, last night I was thinking about our conversation this morning, how it was going to go. This starts out perfectly, Molly. You set me up. I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of the way you were just talking about how a year ago this team probably would have folded being down 17, right? Mm-hmm. And you just trying to figure out what they're going to do. It speaks volumes to the guys inside, especially the veteran presence inside that locker room. And like Kevin Byard, those guys that are speaking up at halftime, that are finding ways to get guys pumped back up. Like, this is, you can't rely on this all the time to be down like that and come back, but it shows what kind of guys and kind of characters inside of that locker room. And I'm proud of them for digging it out. I mean, offense was kind of nowhere to be found, but the defense, we know, and Caleb kind of talked about that, right? Like, not only just like, you know, talking to those guys, all the guys on the defense, but he was going to lean on that defense. That's what had to happen. Special teams defense took over that game. And you just start to see that on the offensive side, man, they still got to figure this thing out. I think we were all waiting for, like, sitting there going, man, like, we got this new Ferrari, man, let's go and drive it. And then next thing you know, it was not driving like a Kia, you know what I mean? Like, it's got the engine in there. I'm like, what is going on here? So to figure out, and I've said this before, and you guys, I say it on your show all the time, your offensive line, especially the interior, it has to get better. I mean, you can have all the bells and whistles on the outside if you want to. If there's pressure, blitz is not really coming, but they're getting pressure up the middle, and I understand who they were going up against this past Sunday. I get it. But when you're getting run over and the tape is being shown that there's issues there at that center position, and guard to guard in between there, that's an issue there for a rookie quarterback that everybody was hoping to have success, and a part of the reason why he struggled a little bit on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. What's something that you think about this team now that you might not have thought before they beat the Titans?
I really thought that with Shane Waldron, I thought for me, I thought it was going to be, let's rely on this run game. Let's figure out the run game and really play off of that. From what I saw, David, in the preseason with a lot of some of the, you know, the easy looks, the easy stuff, that the easy plays where, you know, is run the football, then next thing you know, with the boot action and really being able to hold that other guy on the other side, that, you know, to be able to kind of freeze him a little bit, give Caleb some time to throw. I thought we were going to see the mix and match of that a little bit. And I think the run game of not running the ball and being consistent running the ball and then playing off of that, it really got me a little bit. But defensively, I think I've always known that this defense is, they have a chance to be special. It's just they're going to have to figure out, can this offense figure it out fast enough so they can, because three and outs aren't going to work. I've been on those teams where your offense isn't doing anything and defense has been saving your behind all the time, and they're just getting over to the sidelines, sipping on their Gatorade. They're back out on the field, and that creates some division there. I've seen that before. So it's, can this offense find a way to find a rhythm, get a rhythm, and sustain drives to let this defense do what they do? And hopefully those takeaways will kind of keep coming. I know Will Levis served him up a little bit. He was nervous. He was up going, man, we got this, and then got nervous. This rookie quarterback and Caleb Williams did not, first of all, I know there was opportunities for some interceptions that were deflected balls and all that other stuff, but he didn't turn over the football. And it goes to show for a young man who had the world watching him, all eyes on him, to me didn't look rattled, but looked like the game was a little bit faster than he expected. And I think the nerves were there a little bit, or some of the overthrows, or the throws that we're used to seeing him truly make and drop dimes, like, yeah, because of the situation he was in. But to me, he's going to learn from that, and that's what the difference is. And, David, that's the difference from what we were talking about from you know, me all the time talking about, man, you know, we got to stick with Justin. I don't know if Justin makes those, looks at the film, figures it out, and makes the adjustments moving forward, like I feel like Caleb's going to do as he moves on in his rookie season.
You know, we've talked to different people that have suffered MCL strains and asked them what that means for a guy like Roma Dunze. I think I started the conversation with some of these guys because we were asking about Jordan Love. You ever have an MCL, Jarrett? Or do you?
No.
Have you dealt with other people having it? And, you know, you can come back from that fairly quickly, but you're playing with what the old days you call a trick knee, where you're kind of getting this lateral movement and you can go down.
No, never had it, but seeing guys around, Molly, and it's rough, man. We're talking about what you need to be able to cut, and just watching football over this past weekend and how fast the game is, making cuts to the physical game against the Rams and the Lions, watching the hard hitting that's going on. Like, your knee's got to be right, man.
Yeah.
It's a part of everything. And so, yeah, it's a little concerning, MCL sprain, but it could have been worse.
Oh, yeah.
But what kind of is more concerning to me is what Keenan Allen and his heel, and how is he feeling, and with Rome is going to be week to week. Now you go into Sunday night, a big time football game against a good football team, And now you don't have two of the main characters on your roster probably on the field. And that, how does that change the dynamics of this Bears offense, which we've already seen has had issues in week one against the Titans?
Do you think players are watching closely, waiting to see how Matt Eberflus handles Velus Jones and how he may or may not be demoted or active on Sunday? Do you think that accountability matters to a team full of guys in that locker room that hold each other accountable?
I mean, David, it should. I mean, it should, but I mean, this is the issue is he's a second round pick. And from going back to the days of just my short period of time in Tennessee, when guys are drafted, they get so many opportunities. Because if someone drafts you, they don't want to look like they made a bad decision. But guess what? When you start seeing the mistakes and the inconsistencies there, it's hard to – you can't trick the fans. They see it. They see it. It's on film. They're watching the games on Sunday. And so for a locker room that has gotten a lot tighter and a lot closer with just because of the character that's inside of that locker room, I don't know how many more chances the young man can have before that starts to really creep into what I see as kind of this new nucleus and form that's going on inside of that Bears locker room. Because at some point, I mean, he's had a lot of chances. Yeah. He's had a lot of opportunities. And, I mean, that's when you're getting switched positions to be able to – they're trying to find a way to keep you to stay. And I get where Poles is coming from. Like, he wants to be able to say, see, I told you so. This is going to work. But at some point, you got fans out here, my phone blowing up right after the fumble kickoff, and people are – I got over 20 text messages right then from Bears fans saying, like, I'm done seeing this. And so that's the hard part. Yeah, at some point, you have to be able to hold – him accountable and also show that what we're trying to do inside this locker room moving forward, that you got to hold up your end of the bargain.
Yeah. I mean, here's the reality that you won the game because of your takeaways, and you cannot give the ball away, period, end of story. It's just, you're not built apparently to score a lot of touchdowns right now, and you got to win and you can't lose the ball. And frankly, I think you got a better option. That's the problem for Velus, is that why would you want him to be your kickoff returner when DeAndre Carter came in and had a 66-yard return? It's just nonsensical. And so I think that he has no position for this Sunday. I don't think he's on the active roster, even though, you know, Roma Dunze probably misses the game. And you know, obviously you got – Tyler Scott moving in for him. So you got an extra roster spot. I wouldn't give it to Velus.
No, it'll be hard to do that. And then you're going to have to pick up some production on the offensive side, Molly. Like, I mean, the one thing that really jumped out to me, actually, you know what, Dave? I didn't answer your question the way I should. This is it right here. I did not think that Cole Kmet would be It would be just like he was on Hard Knocks, non-existent, for a guy in Chicago who is a Chicago guy, St. Vider alum. Shout out to the Lions out there. I thought he would be more involved in the offense. We know this young man can block, and so maybe that's what happens now. I thought that the tight ends would be more involved in this offense than they were week one. And I know it's still early, but maybe with Rome being week to week and all that stuff, maybe this opens up an opportunity for him to be that safety blanket for Caleb Williams, and maybe to kind of take, I don't know, add a new dimension to this offense that we did not see at all. Because, I mean, the young man was blocking, but I didn't get an opportunity. One target towards him, to me, that's not enough for a guy that you paid money to, and that is supposed to be a big part of this offense.
So if you're texting Shane Waldron or emailing him, Jarrett, as you might be known to do, what would be your bullet point advice to the offensive coordinator?
Well, I would say good luck figuring out your center and right guard position. Like, figure that out. That needs to be. What did Olin say to you guys yesterday? If you're rotating a guard position and you don't have one at all, I mean that is so true. So true. I would say. I'm the running back here. I'm always going to tell you, run the football, man. Like, find a way. Find a way. Because, listen, you want to get cute and throw all these wide receiver screens all the time. Those are almost like extended runs. Then put the ball on the ground and let that be your identity. Let that be your identity. Find a way to get Swift into the game a lot more. I mean, he's so dynamic, but you have to, and I think what's hard is when you fall behind early and you're not getting, especially on first down, you're not having success on first down, and then you're lacking in third down to be able to extend drives. You're not getting that opportunity to be able to call the plays that you want, and everybody goes out with the first. You always go first 12. And once that's over, you got to start to figure out how to adjust. And I would say Shane seems like he's still trying to figure out all this, the moving pieces of this offense. And that's a hard part. Guess what? You go through a lot of practice. I get that. But during game reps, these guys, they're not playing a lot of preseason football. So now you're learning on the fly in week one. And so that, I would say, lean on the run, take some pressure off of Caleb just a little bit. And then, pray and hope that your defense keeps finding ways to get takeaways.
Yeah, I told David we've concluded they need three interior linemen, and after the experience of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, we're going to determine they also need two offensive tackles.
Well, let's hold off. Let's just hold, and hopefully the anchors on the edges will be okay. Interior, yeah, it scares me a little bit because. Not only we talk about the center, Coleman Shelton, and then also with Nate Davis, but I mean, we all know the history of Tevin Jenkins. I mean, hopefully, knock on wood, injuries don't happen, but we know that has been a part of his resume here, and hopefully he can stay healthy. But, man, I don't know. I mean, no, Ryan Poles is my guy, man. He really is. He's my guy. But that you come into this season and the one thing is you got your quarterback that you needed, and it just doesn't seem, and I've been harping on this, it didn't seem like this offensive line was set. It didn't seem like it was set. So, like, you go get the Ferrari, man, but are you getting the protection paint on it to make sure there's no chips when you're driving down the highway, all that stuff, like the film? Like, what are you – like – Poles has to figure this thing out. He's done a great job of figuring out putting pieces around Caleb. But if that offensive line, you can't dominate on the line of scrimmage, it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter because that loss for 19 is what's going to keep happening. You know, when a young man's going to be turning around, Coleman Shelton's going to be running, saying, "Run, Caleb, run!" And the fact is, this is different than the situation that we had with Justin. Caleb doesn't want to run. Caleb wants to throw. He wants to keep his eyes down the field and throw. And so it's just this is totally different. And so that offensive line has to be different for Caleb, for him to be successful. And so I don't know how you do it on the fly. I know Ryan talks about that there's a lot of depth at that position. Well, hopefully we're going to start seeing that being tested now, but the proof's going to come on the pudding because we're all going to watch it on Sunday night, and it has to be better than it was this past Sunday if the Bears are going to find a way to get a big-time win on primetime against a really, really good football team.
30 seconds, Jarrett. So overreaction week, is it an overreaction to wonder if Daryl Taylor could lead the Bears in sacks?
I feel Montez is going to get going, but I always thought he was a great addition. I mean, he's got something to prove, so you never know what could happen. We know this is his opportunity to prove himself. So as much as Montez gets on one side, it's going to free him up a little bit. And I think that's where if you can get going and get someone else going too, then it gives – Montez an opportunity to kind of pin his ears back, and so it's going to take him off. But yeah, I wouldn't say overreaction. You never know what's going to happen. This defense is all about that back end doing what they do, and up front they just got to kind of figure it out at rotation on the other side, opposite of Montez.
He's getting 34 sacks.
Not 34. If he gets 34 sacks, man, he'll get paid. Yeah, he'll get paid too.
All right, Jerry. Hey, thanks, Jerry. Did you pick the game? Are you taking the Bears over Houston at Houston? Or should we just not talk about it?
Molly, we can't talk about that yet. I do my Peyton's picks at the end on Thursday. Actually, no, tomorrow for my show that I do on for News Nation. So our next star. So all for right. next star. So I will figure it out.
You take Houston then. That's fine.
I always do straight up, though. But last night, we don't even want to talk about my bets last night. Anyway, always a pleasure talking to you guys.
See you, Jared. God bless. That's Jared Peyton. Good dude. Interesting, David. I think we got a lot of stuff that we are going to be thinking about for a little while. They just got to get back on the field and play another game and see the offense go.
They do.
And then once that works,
it's a bad matchup, though, right now. This is one of the tougher games on the schedule.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If you would have told me we were going to end up flirting with a record, I would have been a little surprised. Now, if you would have told me prior to the year that we would have ended up over 100 losses, 105, 110, I wouldn't have been as surprised. But this is the cards that we've been dealt at this point. You try to make the best of it, and I think it's an opportunity to embrace the situation that we're in.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's Chris Getz, the White Sox general manager. And I've been just sitting here in a shrug since he started talking.
Since yesterday?
What?
How's your neck?
The name of God is that.
He's shrugging. That's going to be a lot
of
pain.
My arms are tired.
Yeah.
What is that?
That it was his way of bracing people for what's ahead. his way of explaining to people what he felt about the beginning of the season. But I think what we both realized was that it was confirmation of the deception that I think was part of him being hired.
Yeah.
Or at least when he was hired, let's be consistent. When he was hired because Jerry Reinsdorf led us to believe, led everyone to believe, stated that he was hired because it was the quickest way back to respectability.
That's what he claimed.
And if you bought that, you weren't expecting 105 losses this year, as Chris Getz said he did expect, right?
He said 110 wouldn't surprise him. Well, I mean, David.
So that's not a quick way back to respectability. That is part of a rebuild. So there's something lost in the translation. What it is that Chris Getz looked at the job differently than Jerry Reinsdorf did, or maybe Jerry Reinsdorf looked at the job exactly the same way, but projected it differently publicly.
We've got Mike. Mike is waited to talk. Mike's in Glencoe.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much. And I really appreciate your raising this issue because as a lifelong Sox fan and season ticket holder, I think this is actually a huge story. It's a huge story for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, we Mully, you're right. It was deception. It was deceitful. And I want to be careful of words here, but I don't know what else to describe what Reinsdorf said last fall. But I think it's also important to point out, with all due respect to Chris Getz, that he's complicit in this. He must have taken the job knowing that there is a game plan out there to say he would have expected 110 losses. I wish I would have known that before I set my money in for my season ticket holders.
Right.
It's incomprehensible that they have known this all along and didn't share this. And it's just amusing in a sense that this is the year they choose to tank big time when there's no benefit of tanking. But I think the broader point for Sox fans, and I think Sox fans really need to revolt on this because they're being played for complete fools, is that you just have to ask the question, why did you guys play this season? But really the question to Mr. Reinsdorf is, what is your deal? What's up? What is the game plan? It's something he's got planned, and I can't figure it out. I'm not that smart, and he's a very brilliant guy. But I have a feeling that the future of the franchise is going to go in a completely different direction than any of us feel, because this plan of losing, you know, shrugging your shoulders and saying, hey, yeah, big deal, we lost 125 games, but the future is bright. No, that's not right. And I wish I could say I know what they're going to do. I just know it's going to be bad. What do you guys think?
Honest to God, I mean, the word that comes to my mind is malfeasance. I think it's more of like an immoral act than like a public official stealing something.
In what way? That's pretty strong.
I think that you are misleading people, and you are lying to them about what you're really doing in order to keep them renewing their season tickets.
Well, I think that's a really good point. I mean, that's a strong point.
It's a transgression.
That's what Mike is alluding to, is that when they hired Chris Getz a little over a year ago, there was the public projection of he got the job without any experience in an executive role, in that executive role, because he was the quickest path back to the respectability Sox fans deserve. Sox fans want to see that Sox fans will pay for.
It's a lie.
It was a lie.
Yeah.
And now it's hard to prove a lie. You can say that he was, you know, optimistic it would be different, whatever the case may be. But that's why what we're talking about is significant. When Chris Getz says that,
exactly,
he expected to struggle to the extent that they would lose 110 games.
Yeah.
It says that there's no surprise here.
Hey, we lost 100 games last year. We're probably going to lose 110 this year, but that's just the process you have to go through. They've done nothing.
And fans were intentionally misled.
Yes.
You're claiming, and I think it's a fair claim.
I mean,
not just you, but I think it's fair to conclude that they were misled to the point that you wanted them to buy into something that wasn't going to ever happen.
Here's what I don't understand. And I mean this, David. What do you gain by being the worst team ever? What I mean, is there some kind of like mean spirited?
You gain a place in baseball history that nobody wants to claim.
Ignominy. Yeah, yes. I mean, I understand. Yes. But I'm asking, Like, why would you oversee something like this? Why would Jerry hire someone knowing they're going to lose like that? And why would the guy take a job where, well, okay, I'm going to lose 110 games this time?
Because you never think it's going to be that bad.
Damn it, it's 126.
You never think it's going to be that bad.
I mean, it's
and nobody could have anticipated it being as bad as it has become.
It infuriates me that he said that.
I get that, and
I'm sorry if malfeasance was too strong.
No. I didn't mean malfeasance was too strong. You called it immoral.
Well, I think it is. I do. I think that, you know, to me, and this is not the way Jerry feels.
But you're
feels,
a Sox
clearly.
Fan, so you can feel that. I think that's passionate, I think that's okay.
I think that you have a responsibility as the owner of a team to the public that follows the team, that invests in the team. I don't care how long you've owned the team. That's irrelevant to me. I don't care that you once won a championship, because whatever you're doing now is immoral to me. It is, people spend money and they go out and they support a product and Mike is a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. And what do you get? You get a team that is not competitive and seems to be purposely losing, David. I don't understand why they would purposely lose, but that appears to be what has happened.
Well, there's no incentive, or there's not as much incentive as there used to be, because they are not guaranteed the number one overall pick. So intentionally losing, tanking a season, as we have called it, doesn't make any sense in Major League Baseball any longer. And certainly I don't think the White Sox – I don't know that they set out to be the worst team in baseball history.
What did they set out to do?
What they set out to do was
save money on payroll. Reduce payroll.
In many ways, they wanted to be fiscally responsible while trying to hope that their baseball team would be better than expected. It was a pipe dream.
But it was not a good business.
And they were hoping they'd be better.
You had the wrong manager. Everyone knew it. You hired a general manager who's never done it before. Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand why would you want this to happen? You know, you get a first round draft pick if you're the worst team in the league. You would get the first overall pick, and you get whatever Paul Skeens is. But they changed those rules.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no reward. So, they'll get the first pick in every other round, but they'll pick 10th.
I don't think they wanted this to happen, though. I don't think they wanted this to happen, because they didn't want to make baseball history. I think what they felt like they could get away with, and that's probably the right way to phrase it, is they could get away with bottoming out to trade assets and then get prospects and rebuild the conventional way. And then they would get people excited about a youth movement. They would hit reset. The problem that is infuriating, and you have every right to your outrage. I'm not trying to, believe me, I'm not arguing on anyone's behalf.
Yeah.
But when you came out last year, what's triggering people is that this is a general manager who's acknowledging the expectation of a 100-loss season, who was introduced as the quickest path back to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is disingenuous at best.
Sure.
At best. And immoral at worst. And I think somewhere in between is probably their failed plan to get back into contention. They still are spending more than any team in that division, and they're getting the least return on their investment.
No.
And they're still looking at the 78 as a patch of land that they want to develop.
Yeah, good luck. No, good luck to them. It'd be nice if they could do that. It'd be great, you know? I mean, I hope they get it. Let's get to Pete. He's on the road. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Not as well as I was a minute ago. I don't know. I got a little dark there, and I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, we're going to talk about the Bears again. Northern Illinois. Go ahead. Sorry, Pete.
Expanding on what you guys were talking about, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf knows and knew that if he doesn't get those season ticket holders money, if they have the season that they had this next year, like they did this year, I mean, he's going to be in a world of hurt. Nobody's going to want to go to the game. So that's even more of a reason that, you know, it's a little bit misleading, and these people are going to be really, really upset.
Nobody's going to games now.
Here's the thing, though. But he has this thing built in with the stadium where even if people don't show up, they get paid as if people turned up. They get the money back. So it's like, is he trying to make us, is he trying to get the 708 thing built by making the state pay him for the last horrible deal that they made? Right? It's my understanding that if the White Sox don't get the revenue from the building that they were expecting, they still get it from the state, right?
Right.
So is this what – is this – is he sending a message to the state? Is he trying to – I don't know what he's doing. I don't – I mean, I think he's a very clever person, and I think he's made a lot of money for his partners over the years. I just don't understand what's the purpose here.
I'm not sure it's clear. I'm not sure it's been clear in terms of if the purpose, if you're talking about, there's different tracks, just like with the Bears and the stadium project and the team on the field and all those things. With the White Sox, I mean, what's going on with the rebuild in their organization is, I guess if you're asking the question, is that related to what their plans are in terms of seeking a new stadium and getting out of this deal? I don't know how tightly connected those two things are, because I don't think they've done a great job at clarifying that throughout the course of this terrible season.
I wouldn't argue that. Hey, here's something you can do. Join the Scores Shane Reardon for a football watch party this Sunday from 6 to 8 at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when the Bears take on the Houston Texans in prime time. You can enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on The Wall's massive screen. You may be able to pull Shane aside for a moment and talk to him about the White Sox, get his take on it. That's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane Reardon at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema.
See, talking about Shane cheered you up.
I like Shane, and he makes me happy, and he gave me a great t-shirt. That made my day.
He gave you what? What was the t-shirt?
The t-shirt is the one that they threw the guys out for wearing. It's got the scoreboard. It's quoting Chris Getz, "I don't like our team."
Don't like our team.
Yeah.
When did he say that? Back in December.
That's right.
Back in December.
Yep.
So we knew then that he was operating like most general managers who inherit a mess would. You start to rebuild immediately. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a start. They weren't thinking playoffs ever about this season, or even having a respectable record. I don't think they figured they were going to set a new record for losses.
No, but I think the Sox convention is back on this year because they were going to celebrate
Sox Fest. Is it back?
Just joking.
I think it is.
See what happened there. I nearly had a breakdown. Download the Odyssey app and search for 670 The Score.
Nearly.
I used the word malfeasance. Am I in legal trouble? Download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. You want to know if a receiver is suddenly out with an MRI. And if you can't get enough, check out Take the North. The Take the North podcast features our guy David Haw and our guy Dan Wiederer breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of week two showdown at Houston. And you're going to follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Well worth listening. You did a live version of it yesterday. We talked a little about it. Dan talked about seeing some batted passes practice, if I'm not mistaken.
We talked about the batted ball syndrome. And I think that Alex Kuhn, our fine producer who did that last night, he counted three batted balls and batted passes. And Dan said this when talking about Caleb Williams at practice.
It's fair to bring that up because, David, that wasn't prevalent throughout training camp, but it wasn't rare either. There were more than a few instances where passes were being knocked down at the line of scrimmage. It's something that Caleb's going to have to learn and he's going to have to work with. You know, his height is not going to change going forward in the NFL. We think he's topped out at I guess he's listed at 6'1 and probably a smidge Below that, depending on how poofed up his hair is before or after a practice or a game. When you talk about the greats that were a little bit smaller, Drew Brees is the first to come to mind. One of the things the Saints did for Drew Brees is they went out and got him two standout guards on the interior of the line in Jarry Evans and Carl Nix that allowed him to use his gifts in creating space inside the pocket. Caleb's going to have to learn that. He's going to have to evolve in that way. He's going to have to feel that out as time moves on to be able to create some throwing lanes and not have the prevalence of those batted down passes, because those are essentially wasted plays. And in a worst case scenario, they get batted up in the air and they turn into turnovers. And so something to keep an eye on through the remainder of September and into early October as he gets his feet on the ground.
Good stuff from Dan.
Yeah, that's excellent.
He's got great insight in that episode.
As do you.
Morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
It depends on who you talk to.
No. I mean, I have bad insights. That's why this guy says, "You're a fool for listening to Reinsdorf in the first place."
Yeah, that's the same guy that said, I talk like a brick wall.
That's okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, I stand accused, sir. I'm a fool.
You're not a fool.
I am.
I thought that was interesting, though, from Dan, because
I agree.
As Biggsy indicated earlier,
yes,
it has happened at practice.
Yes.
You don't overreact because of certain practice situations and circumstances. But if it begins to be a problem in games, then nobody's going to like it.
No. And we've got so much more. And we're going to have so much fun breaking down this game, getting into the next opponent. Tomorrow, I believe, is game plan day, if I'm not mistaken.
It is
hump day. Yeah. So we will start looking ahead and start getting to that stuff.
We're
going to
start
you.
Talking with a Texas accent.
We will. Unfortunately,
y'all,
you might not want to listen, all y'all. Because we've decided to wear cowboy hats and talk. No. I'm from the South.
I got the boots. You got the hat?
I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I look like an idiot anyway, because I wear a baseball cap. Sometimes it says White Sox on it. Not for a while. All right. We got Dan and Lawrence next. We'll talk to them. I'll calm down. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.